Right, and what appropriate song for Adam this morning? Just trust and obey, Adam. And thank all of you for being here this morning. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to read the Holy Bible and to be able to get a handle on what God has called upon all of us to do in our lives. Sometimes we question God about what He asks us to do. But you know, sometimes God questions us. The very first question of God related to man's sin of all things. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, actually, and I want to give you the count this morning, so we're not going to be using a PowerPoint up here this morning, so you're going to have to turn in your Bible the old-fashioned way. And you're going to have to read along with me in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Adam and Eve had sinned against God. They had disobeyed the Lord. And as a result of it, the Bible in verse 7 says, "And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called out to Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And the Lord God called to Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, Why, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest unto be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. That particular question, and by the way, there are two questions that are asked there in that chapter. One of them is where art thou? And the question that God asks here is not a question that God didn't have the answer to. God knew the answer to that question, but he wanted Adam to find out the answer to it. You know, God is not oblivious to you and to me regarding anything in this life. He knows where we are. He knows what's going on in our mind. He knew what was going on in the mind of Adam. And he knew exactly and precisely where Adam was when he says, Where art thou? But he wanted Adam to get a handle on it. What have you done? And he said, Why have you hidden among the trees of the garden? And Adam said, Because I am naked. And then God asked question number two. He says, But who told thee that thou art naked? You know, I have learned in life that it is always good to check out the source of information. In our everyday life, before we repeat something, it would be wise counsel for us to find out if that information is true before we repeat it. Before you make a decision in life, you ought to make sure that you have all the facts together before you make a decision. It is true in the church, it's true in business, it is true internationally and nationally in this country with those who lead us. It is especially true regarding religion. There are two sources of information, religiously speaking, in our world. One of them is Almighty God, who cannot lie, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and who makes no mistakes. And secondly, the source of information could come from Satan, whom in the book of John, the 8th chapter in verse 44, is heralded as the one who is the father of all lies. God is the father of all truth, and the devil is the father of all lies, if you will. Do you know that the Bible commands us to seek truth? In the book of Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus said that there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world, and many will be deceived thereby. So it behooves us to find out what truth is, and maybe ask ourselves the question, who told me that? Or I could ask you, whatever you're practicing religiously in today's world, who told you that that was right? Or who told you that it was acceptable? Paul, when writing to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 21, he said to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. And then there is an admonition on the part of the beloved John, the apostle, in 1 John 4 and verse 1. He said that we are to prove the spirits or try the spirits whether they are of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. How would you know the difference between truth and error? How would you be able to distinguish between whether someone is telling you the truth or whether they are distorting the word of God? I could tell you, and that is the Bible. If God told us anything, it would be found in this book right here. You wouldn't have to rely on anything else. But who told you? God or Satan? Now, I want to ask you a few questions this morning regarding that thought. Who told you to believe in Jesus to be the Son of God? Well, you might immediately say, well, I believe God told us to do that. And you know what? You're exactly right. Jesus said the same thing. In the book of John 8 and 24, he said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, verse 1 and following. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But let me ask you another question. When someone says to you to believe in Jesus, let me ask you another question. Who told you, and there are many today that are being told, that in order to go to heaven, that is all that you have to do is to believe in God? Who told you? You know what? Adam and Eve bought into a lie. And the devil is still perpetrating lies. He is still distorting the word of God. He is still trying to ameliorate or augment and change in any way that he considers to be fashionable enough to get people to believe error. Who told you that it was enough just to believe in Jesus? I've heard people, and you have too. I've heard preachers even make statements like this. All you have to do is believe in Jesus to go to heaven. Have you ever listened to many of the televangelists today on television? They will tell you that just fall down right where you are and just offer the sinner's prayer, or fall down right where you are and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. But did you know, according to the Word of God, and here's the real issue, folks, who told you that? Did God tell you that? Or did the world or some religious prognosticator tell you that? God didn't tell you that. God didn't tell anybody that. He didn't even tell the sinner to pray the sinner's prayer. But we got a lot of folks religiously today that say all you got to do is just pray the sinner's prayer, whatever that is. I believe that I'm a sinner and Lord Jesus come into my life. God never told anybody to do that. Jesus never echoed it in form, fashion, anywhere in the Bible. Who told you that you were to be baptized for the remission of your sins? And you may say, well, the Bible teaches that, and it does. But who told you that you did not need to be baptized to receive the forgiveness of your sin? Who told you that baptism is unessential? Wasn't God. For God teaches the contrary. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2 that we're to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Isn't it interesting that in today's world that many of those so-called preachers of the quote so-called gospel, the social gospel, will tell you that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved? You need to get back, folks. Who told you that? If the preacher told you that, you need to make sure that he is telling you that from the Word of God. And if he is not preaching it from the Bible, it is not true. Who told you that baptism by sprinkling is just as good as baptism by immersion? It wasn't God. And yet we have a lot of religious groups today that say that when a person is baptized, whether he's talking about at an early age or whether he's talking about late in life when he's unable to be baptized, lowered in water, immersed according to the will of God, that you can just sprinkle water on his head. I'll never forget one time I had gone to the hospital. And there was a friend of mine who wanted to be baptized. He was very seriously ill. But he wanted to be baptized. He wanted to be buried with Christ in baptism at the commandment of God. And I asked the doctor about it, and he says, "Can't you just sprinkle water on his head and that'd be all right?" I said, "Well, let's go to the Word of God and find out what Jesus said about that. Do you realize that Christ never ever taught that baptism was by any other form other than immersion? Nowhere does the Holy Scripture ever teach that sprinkling can be substituted for baptism, for an immersion in water, for one to attain the forgiveness of his sin." You have to get back to the question, folks, who told you? You know what? I'm sure that God is looking at many in the religious world today, and he is saying unto them the same thing, that making the same question that I'm going to tell you something that he asked of Adam. When God was dealing with Adam over his sin, and he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Well, Adam didn't really have an answer. You know, anyone that does not preach the Bible does not have a leg to stand on, spiritually speaking. They don't. I've heard people say, "Well, you know what? I want to wear a religious name other than just Christian." You know, when you read the Bible, I'm told, according to the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 26, that the disciples were called Christians down in Antioch. They were never referred to by any other name. They weren't referred to by Jerusalem Christians. They weren't called Christians at Colossae, or the first Christian church at Colossae, or at Thessalonica, but they were simply called New Testament Christians. You know, in today's world, we have an amalgamation of religious doctrines and churches all perpetrating, as they call it, their doctrine. Why don't we just get back to this book and start teaching and preaching the will of God? Christ did not come into the world to confuse the world, but he came into the world to redeem the world. He came into the world to set the record straight. He came into the world to take away all the division that is going on religiously. He came into the world to unite people and bring them back to God. But we have almost 1,000 differing religious denominations in today's world. Why is it that we can't get back to the Bible and just start doing things in Bible ways, preaching the Word of God, and thereby fulfilling the will of Jehovah? That's what we ought to be doing, folks. How many times have you ever heard people say, "Well, there's nothing in a name"? You ever heard that? Some people say, "It doesn't make any difference what you call yourself." Well, it makes a whole lot of difference to me. I want to be called a Christian. And a Christian, some people ask me all the time, "Well, where do you preach? Or what are you religiously?" I say, "I'm a Christian." I don't say I'm a Crockett Road Church of Christ member. I just say I'm a Christian. Isn't that enough? I mean, after all, why should we go any further? If we're obedient to the will of God and we become New Testament Christians, that should be enough, folks. It should be. But I've heard people say, "Well, it doesn't mean anything if you call yourself by some other denominational name. Why would I want to?" Why would I want to identify myself by a name other than that of Jesus? When someone asks me what I am religiously, I will say forthrightly, I am a child of God. I am a Christian. And the Bible says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but rather let him glorify his God who is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16 through 18. Sometimes in my discussions with other people, I will ask them, why are you waiting to become a child of God? And they say, well, you know, I'll do that at a later date. I'll have a little bit more time. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who told you that you had more time? Did God tell you you had more time? Or did Satan put that in your heart? You know, many of us assume that life is going to go on for us. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. We never think that someday they're going to read your obituary in the paper. But they will. I've read a lot of obituaries in the paper recently of people that I thought that would live to be a ripe old age. Many of them died as a young man. Vice President Biden's son died, 47 years old. Perhaps thought in the time of his life that he would live for a long, long time. Had aspirations of running for governor. Didn't work out. Our plans often go awry. Our good intentions often fail. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 4 that your life is passing before you right now. It is. Your life's like a cloud up in the heavens, the word says. And it's there for a little bit of time. And then it vanisheth away. That's the way life is. You have no lease on life. You have no guarantee you're going to be here tomorrow. That's why it's important for people to obey the gospel today. That's why Paul would write to the church at Corinth and he would say that today is a day of salvation, not tomorrow. But many people are always banking on becoming a Christian or being baptized or getting right with God tomorrow at some future date. Or they're hopeful that time will permit them to live and enjoy the pleasures of this world. And then eventually obey God. Doesn't always work out that way. Who told you that you had more time? In the book of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Many of you are already, right now as I speak, probably making plans for tomorrow. You're already thinking about what you're going to do on Monday. You've been turning it around in your mind because you have responsibilities and you've been thinking about things that have to be done and things that need to be done, and you're already making plans. But did you realize that death may prevail tonight and you may not get done what you intended to do tomorrow? That's why the Bible speaks with great urgency about getting right with God. There is no promise of tomorrow. All you have is right now, this moment. And if someone told you, and I'm going to tell you who that someone is many times, it is the devil himself. Because he often impregnates our minds with distorted truth. Oh, he doesn't always come out and tell you that certain things are wrong. But he will pervert it in such a way as to make you believe that what he is telling you is right. There is no promise of tomorrow. I've had people tell me, well, I just don't believe there's a heaven. Who told you that? I don't believe there's a coming judgment. Who told you that? Do you realize that a lot of people base their knowledge and their concepts about the hereafter upon what other people say and not upon the Bible? I hear a lot of people say they don't believe there's going to be a coming judgment of God. That we're not going to be standing up before the great judge of the earth to answer for how we live. I'm here to tell you, folks, that's not of the Bible. That concept is false. For Jesus did say something about us standing before him. In the book of Matthew 24 and also in the book of Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31 through the end of the chapter, down about verse 46, he talked about the time when we would be summoned before him to give account for what we do in this life and how we live. And Paul in the book of Romans chapter 14 says, so then each and every one of us must give an account of ourselves unto God. And Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men to get right with God now. Judgment's coming. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Read about the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, down through verse 11, when he says that he stood before God, and we will stand before God, and the books will be opened. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life, and the dead would be judged out of those things written in the books. I believe in the judgment of God. And even though the world is preaching today that there is no judgment, who told you that you didn't need to believe in the judgment? It wasn't God. Do you realize that many people are going to be lost based on a hearsay religion? They do certain things religiously because they heard that's what they need to do, instead of opening the Bible to find out what they should do. But you know what? People have been doing that for a long time. Why, Jesus, throughout his ministry, constantly dealt with the Pharisees about the same issue. He said, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. He said, don't you get wrapped up in a hearsay religion. Don't get wrapped up in what other people are saying. He asked one time when he went to Caesarea Philippi, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to say what other people were saying. They said, some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're Elijah, or that you're one of the prophets of old. And he turned to Peter and he said, but who do you say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And listen to what he says about how he got that information. He didn't say, I just dreamed it up or I heard it somewhere. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. God revealed it to him. You know what? The Bible ought to be the source of all of our information, spiritually speaking. It's a sad thing that Adam didn't rely and really believe God. And he listened to Satan. Who told you that you were naked? This morning, perhaps, God might be asking you the same thing. Why are you waiting to become a Christian? Who told you had more time left? Why would you believe such erroneous doctrines as that which says that you don't have to obey me in baptism, but that you can be sprinkled? Why would you believe that I built a multiplicity of religious denominations? He didn't say that. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. That's the Word of God, folks. I don't want to go into judgment because I know it's true. I don't want to go into judgment believing anything but that beautiful book that God has given to all men for all time. It has stood the test. It is true now as it ever has been. It will be true in days to come. The Bible teaches those who refuse to obey God are lost. Now, the world may be telling you you're okay. But you know what? You're not going to have to answer to the world. You're going to have to answer to God. You don't have to answer to me. But you'll have to answer to God who gave His Word. And to believe that I'm saved when in reality I'm lost would be a great tragedy of great proportion, wouldn't it? So this morning, if you realize that in your condition where you are spiritually right now, and many of you know that. Many of you know that you're saved or lost based on what the Bible teaches. And if you know in your heart of hearts right now that there are things in your life that are not right, God is saying to you, don't believe the lies of the world, but come to Christ. And receive forgiveness of sin by believing upon Him with all of your heart. And as an act of belief and faith that you have in God, the Bible says faith without works is dead. If you really believe in Him, serve Him, honor Him by committing your life to Him, a New Testament baptism, to really be forgiven, to be added to God's church, to His kingdom, and to simply become a Christian only, serving and honoring Him until that time we should be raised from the dead. And we will stand before our Maker to answer for how we have lived. I wouldn't want to face judgment any other way, folks, and I hope you don't. Let us stand and let us sing.